Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Earlier this year, last year, but I'm on my computer and I'm Googling our next guest, right? So I wanted to get some tidbits of information about our next guest. He does our high school football games with us as our analyst. Mark Miller is his name, former Canton South quarterback, BG quarterback, and Cleveland Browns quarterback. I'm looking at his 1979 Topps Mark Miller Cleveland Browns football card, man. This is as cool as it gets, man. Number 15 on his uniform, number one in your hearts if you went to Canton South when he played, or BG and with the Browns. Mark Miller, how the heck are you, man?
I'm doing great. I had a lot of hair in those days, didn't I?
Oh, my goodness. I'm thinking back to 78. How old was I? I was 14. I had a lot of hair back then, too, Mark. But this is so cool because I remember I collected these cards, Mark. I remember this specific set, the outline and the back with the yellow and black on the gray and everything. And I'm looking at the back of your card, and it says, Mark's favorite athlete is former Celtic star John Havlicek. Is that accurate, Mark?
Yeah, yes, he was. I was a Hondo fan for sure. He's an Ohio guy, and the Celtics were on top of the NBA world in those days, so it was easy to be a Celtic fan. And I picked on Hondo because he was the ultimate hustler and team guy. I really liked to watch him play.
It says that on the bottom of your football card. Always those neat little tidbits that I love. Kind of like, you know, Playboy, the centerfold. You know, the interests and all that. Same thing, right, on the football card, Mark. But the other thing it says here, I didn't realize this, and this is where I owe you an apology because I didn't do enough research over the last year and a half or so. At Bowling Green, 6,329 of total offense for you when you played there. 11th best figure in the history of the NCAA back then. Dude, you were a beast at BG with the Falcons.
Well, I got to play all 4 years, so that runs your numbers up a little bit because you play a lot of games. And my last couple of years, they started letting me throw it because we had some running backs hurt and because we weren't very good my senior year. And so, you know, that's when you run numbers up as a quarterback. If you got a great team and you can run it a lot, you just hand it off and win. We weren't quite that fortunate, but played a lot of games up there. Played for Don Nealon, Canton guy. That's the reason I went to BG, is to play for Don, and had a lot of fun up there. Met a lot of great people. Hey, Kenny, in those days, Don Nealon recruited Stark County unbelievably strong. In my freshman year, 8 of the 11 starters on offense were from Stark County. We had the Abravic boys, the Studer boys. I mean, we had some Stark County flavor up there, and that was a lot of fun to go up there with a lot of hometown guys.
That's awesome. Great stuff from Mark Miller, our high school football analyst, former Canton South BG, Cleveland Browns quarterback. And number 15, Mark, why 15? Was it given to you, or was that something special to you?
Well, I went in high school. I picked my number. It was number 12 because I was a Joe Namath guy. You know, I wanted to be cool and throw the ball like him. I thought he had the best, quickest arm in the NFL then. And so I went to college wanting to be number 12, but an upperclassman had it, and they said, "What's the next number you want?" And I picked 15. Don't know why, but I just got 15. And then from then on, I was 15 for every team that I even tried out for, except for the Green Bay Packers. And a little bit of a trivia question is, why couldn't I have 15 with the Green Bay Packers? Because it was retired, Bart Starr's number.
I was going to say, that's Bart's number, so nobody got to wear that one after he called.
Nobody got to wear that one.
Well, so what number were you trying there with Green Bay?
I wore 18, but I was on injured reserve all but the last game, and so it wasn't. I sure didn't wear that number out.
Okay, fair enough. All right, but before we get to our high school stuff, Mark, I want to talk to you about the Twitter poll that I put up, all right, about Baker Mayfield. You played in the NFL. You're Brian Sipes' backup in 78, 79. You know what goes on in the locker room, the quarterback, the importance of that role in a locker room, on the field, the most important position in all of sports, okay? So we threw it out there. From what you've seen so far, we asked the people, is Baker 100% the quarterback of the future? Yes. 100% not the quarterback of the future, or it's too early to tell. Where do you weigh in on this? And then I want to ask you about the front office.
Yeah. Well, I think he's the quarterback for the immediate future. They got a lot invested in him, and I don't know where they're going to go. I mean, Case Keenum had a great year a couple of years ago, and he knows the offense. And, you know, it's a pretty good alternative. But, boy, you're going to throw away a lot of investment if you bench Baker right now. I still think it's early. I mean, okay. The first season was a partial season. Last year was a throwaway because of the mess it was. You know, the COVID year this year, you don't get the – and quarterbacks need that timing, you know, and you need to throw a lot. And all the OTAs and the mini camps and preseason was all, you know, screwed up because of the virus thing. And so I'm not sure that he's not the guy. I've never been a great Baker Mayfield fan, but I love him because he's a Brown. So I root for him. The thing that concerned me about Baker, other than his height, and I think, you know, that's something you just can't overcome, and I know they say, well, Drew Brees does it, but he's going to be a Hall of Famer, you know. So The thing that concerned me about Baker was his emotion. And I know people will say, well, Brett Favre was emotional. Yeah, he was emotional after the play, not before the game or during the game. You know what I'm saying? I mean, He seemed to control it. And let it out when it really picked his team up and not really when it messed his performance up. I get a little concerned about Baker being so emotional. But, you know, hey, he's in a place I never got to. So God bless him. And I root for the Browns and sure hope that he does great.
Well, I'm wondering what the front office thinks because they will have a huge decision to make sometime soon here on whether or not to pick up that fifth-year option on his rookie contract. Because if you're taken in the first round, it's 4 years plus that fifth, and the team decides they have the right to say yes or no, and that's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 million. So do you think that pressure maybe is weighing on him a little bit too, Mark, along with, well, you know, the team – the offensive line didn't have a great game last week and everything that's going on along with the pressure of the contract.
Yeah, I think that all enters into it. You know, there's no doubt about it. And he knows that it's a business. And even though they're trying to develop a team and camaraderie and all that stuff, it really does come down to finances a lot of times. I mean, just look at the Indians, what they're going through right now. That could be a big factor. And the key with the front office is they've got to say, who are we going to replace him with? And is he going to be better long-term than what we got? You know, so they're doing a lot of figuring, too. I don't know, man. That's way beyond my pay grade. And, you know, I'm relegated to a fan now. So I'll just sit back and cheer. And whoever lines up behind center, I'll think he's the best they got and hope he wins for him.
Mark Miller, our guest, high school football analyst for us here with our WHBC Sarshone Ford Radio Games of the Week. Works with Dan Belford. Good. Denny Kincaid, yours truly. And let's turn our attention from Baker and the Browns to our high school football playoffs. Mark and not COVID, but vertigo, you know, got me last week. So I couldn't travel. I'm finally, knock on wood, you know, my equilibrium's back. So I'm good to go tomorrow. Can't wait. It's Maslin and Hoover. But before we get to that, your thoughts on the games that you guys did last weekend. And I know you had to be shocked by one of the outcomes with your alma mater.
Yeah. Well, we sure missed you, Kenny. Can't wait to get you back in there, get that crew back together. We got the best crew around, and we love doing games together. And so we'll be back at full strength tomorrow night with you back. But, you know, Friday night we did Lake and Hoover rematch, in-league rivalry. It was a good game. Lake, not publicized real well, but they were missing some guys. You know, they had some guys under quarantine and a couple of key players. And that really takes the steam out of a high school team, I think, when they had to be at their best to play against Hoover on Hoover's field. Hoover just had more, you know, but it was a good game. Lots of offense, lots of hard, tough play. You know, Connor Ashby had a game for the ages, you know. I mean, even his 50, even his one incompletion could have been caught. I mean, he was on, man. And then Saturday night, we went down to to Canton South, my old alma mater, and I had told the guys before the game, and even when we knew we were going to do the game, my Wildcats were up against it because Mentor Lake Catholic, as you know, is a great program. And back in 1981, I want to say, I did a game for back then. It was called Sports Time Ohio or something. I don't remember the exact name of it, but we went over and did a state championship. I can't remember the play-by-play guy I worked with. I think it might have been Michael Regott. And we did that state championship game. I remember Joe Juravicius was a wide receiver. He was phenomenal. I cannot remember the name of the quarterback. He was a lefty. He was a year younger than Juravicius, and he was phenomenal. And ever since then, they've been a good program. And it was true. South just did not have the horses to play with Mentor Lake Catholic. They were really, really good. I don't know if they're as good enough to win the state tournament in that division. But, man, they were really good that night. The cool thing about that night, Kenny, is I show up at the game. I look out on the field, and there's an assistant coach named Bobby Lake with Canton South. He was my left guard when I was a junior. Then I go up into the press box. The guy keeping the scoreboard was Bill Wright. He was my right tackle when I was in high school. And then the officials show up, and the head dog in the white hat is Ron Fuller. He was my all-state receiver as a senior, one of my best buddies. We were in each other's weddings. So it was like homecoming down there. My brother and sister-in-law were at the game. It was a lot of fun being there, but the outcome wasn't good for the Wildcats.
He's Mark Miller, and he does a fabulous job for us as our high school football analyst. And we've got some great games for everybody this weekend, Mark. And let's get to the Maslin-Hoover matchup, which is our Friday night game at Maslin, 6-1. They've won 6 in a row. Hoover now, after seeing them beat Lake for a second time, they are now 5-2. They've won 4 in a row, Mark. Maslin, a state championship contender. Do you give Hoover a chance in this one? I do, simply because of three guys. Connor Ashby, Drew Robinson, and Brock Henney. There's those triplets the Cowboys always had, right? So they can't turn it over, but if those guys can do some damage offensively, I give them a shot, but I think they're going to have to play a perfect turnover-free game to have a chance to beat Maslin.
I'm with you in a lot of ways. I know a lot of people say, oh, Maslin's going to crush them, and they might because Maslin's really good, and their defense is as good as I've seen in high school, maybe for decades, okay? But anyway, I give Hoover a chance because of the guys that you mentioned, because that gives them a well-rounded offense, and especially because of the guy that lines up behind center. He is a senior. He can make plays with his feet and his arm and also his head. He's a very mature, clutch athlete. Anytime you got a guy like that on the field, he can make a great play out of a bad one. And I think Hoover, like you said, no turnovers, cut down on mistakes. That means blocking errors, penalties, all that jazz. They got to play clean. They got to play hard. They got to stay healthy. And Maslin has a lot of firepower, too. And so this might be one of those score fests. And if you get into a game like that, I think Hoover has even more of a chance.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Maslin shut out Walnut Ridge last week, 56-0, the largest result. How did they say that? It's the largest winning margin by a Maslin team in, I think, playoff history for them. So, their defense has pitched 3 shutouts. 23, 33, 43, 40, 57 points they've given up now in the 7 games. So, I don't think they're as good as that.
Yeah, like 2 rushing touchdowns or something.
Right.
It's crazy. Yeah.
They're not as good as that 81. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they are awesome. I think three passing touchdowns, 2 rushing, and, those linebackers are so good, and they've got the speed on the corners to stay with people man-to-man. So, they're the real deal. I'm not underselling Maslin by saying I think Hoover has a chance. But I think this, too. We've done 3 Maslin games, and they play a great schedule. Hoover plays a really good schedule, too. But they play a great schedule. In the 3 games I've seen, they haven't faced a quarterback that can do what Connor Ashby does. Yep. Now, I know Elijah Wesley's very talented, but I don't think he was right in that Maslin game. He was coming off, sitting off a week and all that kind of stuff. But they're going to have to really pay attention to Connor Ashby. And so I'm looking forward to a great game. I think it's going to be one.
Yeah, I do too. I was going to say that defense is good. Maybe not as good as the 81 McKinley defense and what they were able to do in winning the state title. Yeah. But, hey, when you hold a team to, I think, 56 total yards last week in a shutout, and you – how about this? I think they scored the same amount of points as Walnut Ridge had yards last week or whatever it was, something ridiculous like that. So it's we'll get into that more.
If you're Walnut Ridge.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. But, yeah, they've got to play a perfect game because, no doubt, Maslin's a state championship contender. So we'll see what Connor Ashby and the guys can do in that game. Then on Saturday night, Northwest against East Cleveland Shaw and Air Indians, man. John DeMarco is coming up with us at 6 o'clock today. Looking forward to talking to him about the season in this game. But this is a team, too, I think, like Maslin, is a state championship contender based on what I've heard, what I've seen, the results to this point.
You know, I do too, because they've got all the pieces and they've got another run pass guy behind center. And, John DeMarco going over there with the mix right now and the rest of those guys, that was a match made in heaven. You know, whoever did that hire, he deserves a contract extension, because that, it was perfect, you know. Now I don't know a lot about, Cleveland East Shaw or East Cleveland Shaw, whatever they're saying it is these days. All I know is this. They got 8 transfers from Glenville when Glenville canceled their season. I know Glenville, the Tar Blooders. I know they got some players. And so, you know, they got an infusion of talent because of the COVID thing. And so they'll bring some talent down, but I think Northwest, like you do, I think they got a chance to go all the way to the finish.
Well, check this out, too, Mark. In Division 4, Region 13, that's the division Northwest is in. They're the number one seed in that region. If they win this week, they will play the winner of CVCA, the 13th seed, and Mentor Lake Catholic. So we could see next week Northwest hosting Mentor Lake Catholic, which would be just a phenomenal football game. Let's hope we get to see that one next week because those are two of the top teams in Division 4.
Man, can I put my request in early to do that game?
Woo! Right, I know. No question about that. A couple of the other games. Perry is hosting Dublin Scioto, 1-8 in the seeding. I look for Perry to come out on top in that one, and we're all hoping for that rematch in the playoffs that we saw last year when Maslin dominated Perry 35-7. I'd like to see the rematch this year, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think it's not going to be that much different this year, I don't think. I think it'd be a little closer game, and I talked to a guy here at the hall today that a good buddy is the AD down there at Scioto, and so he got a little scoop from him, and it sounds like, they're not, Scioto's had some great players in the past, but he knows Perry, too, and he thinks Perry's stronger.
Yeah, Mark Miller is our guest, high school football analyst for us on our games each and every Friday and Saturday. Does a fantastic job. A couple of the other games this weekend, Mark, with Stark County teams, Kirtland and Sandy Valley. This is a rematch from last year's playoff when Sandy Valley almost shocked Tiger Laverty and Kirtland, but Kirtland prevailed. With Sandy Valley this year, Mark, they're the one team that I've had the toughest time figuring out. I don't know what to expect week to week with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you've called him Jekyll and Hyde. I'm not sure which is the good one, but if they need Jekyll, if he's the good one this weekend. Because Kirtland, everybody knows Kirtland's in the state tournament finals almost every year, and I'm sure they're really good again. But, again, they've got some firepower. They got Blair. They got those wideouts that run like the wind that can catch everything. So, golly, let's hope they're on and they can stay with them and maybe shock them at the end. I know that game last year will give them some confidence that they can play with them. They won't be intimidated.
Here's the one thing that concerns me, all right, based on the numbers and the stories I've read this year. The defense for Sandy Valley, not the greatest, right? We know they can score, but the fact that Tiger Laverty now and his team has faced Cam Blair before and that offense, I think they'll have a better understanding of it. So we'll see if that proves to be beneficial to Kirtland, or like you said, maybe it's a confidence thing with the kids from Sandy Valley. I know they wanted this rematch. Well, they got it.
Yeah, that's right. Sandy Valley's not sneaking up on them anymore. They know it. They'll pull out that film from last year, and they'll have the kids' attention, that's for sure.
Hey, how about Cam Blair, over 100 career touchdown passes, and he's the all-time passing yardage leader as well. In Stark County
Kenny,
history,
I don't think I threw that many touchdowns since, backyard football when I was 4 years old all the way to the end of my career. That's unbelievable. What a career.
Yeah, think about it. You played it, Aidan Long. Well, think of all the great Todd Blackledge. All these great quarterbacks have played in Stark County. Cam Blair is number one in both of those categories.
Yep.
So good luck to Sandy Valley. Congrats to Cam Blair. And then our Division 7 games, we've got St. Thomas Aquinas. You know the legendary statistician Denny Kincaid's loving this. St. Thomas taking on New Middletown Springfield. They got a shot to advance with Asian Burt back there. And also Central Catholic against Norwayne. They know how to beat Norwayne as well. We could see those two playing in a holy war somewhere down the road in a rematch.
Now, wouldn't that be fun? And, you know, the Stark County schools, they're well-tested. I know that the New Middletown team, I saw them play against Anna in the state championship out here in Benson last year. But who knows how many of those guys they return. At that division, if you lose a couple of key players, you're rebuilding because, you know, there are not very many to choose from. So we'll hope that our locals can win.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. We've got you covered with games Friday and Saturday. Plus, we've got Brian Novak with the Hammersmith Scoreboard Show at halftime and after the game. So go to WHBCSports.com. And you can find out about all the information you need to know about which games we're doing, where those games are at, what time they're on. We've got the AltCare TV game of the week. We got the streaming game. So we got all kind of games for you this weekend. And calling the games on the radio, looking forward to working with the guys again. Mark Miller, we appreciate the time. And if you get a chance, I don't know if you have any left over, Mark, but if you can get me one of your football cards from 79 or 78, I would love to have one for my office there at WHBC.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, my mom, I used to joke, and it wasn't really a joke, is that she hoarded them all, you know. No, there were none in circulation. Well, my mom unfortunately passed away a few years ago, so there's probably some available. I'll take care of you on that one. Hey, I can't wait to see you tomorrow night at Paul Brown Stadium, buddy.
Should be fun. Thanks so much, Mark. We'll talk tomorrow then.
Yep.
There he is.